Good afternoon and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Ashwini. How are you?
I'm happy to be here.
All right. Me too.
So our assignment from yesterday was, what do you want related to if you could have anything in the world, what would it be? The answer, the question we were answering around that is, what did you consider and not select?
Mm-hmm.
And so here we go. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Morning. Good morning. It's Jodine.
Well, good morning, Jodine.
Hey, I'm going to switch to possibly a better
device
fine.
Here. How's my sound?
You're okay, fine. We can hear you perfectly.
Great. These are all great questions. Perhaps I should first say what I did select. What I ended up writing was a process or clear path that will transform human culture from self-destruction to sustainable, peaceful coexistence with all life on Earth.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And and I think comes from kind of a process of mine where there's a voice, I don't know where it's coming from, that's like think big, like you can have anything. And so kind of one thing that arose that I didn't select was that a cure for Parkinson's disease. Because I suffer from Parkinson's disease, and the cure has been a long time, lots of people have been working on it, and it's a really kind of a sticky problem. The cure has not presented itself after, decades of concerted effort.
Which is also the case with Alzheimer's disease, right? And and many, many other diseases. And it's interesting, isn't it, when we look at something like that, I wonder if we were really to think big, if there would be something, stay with me on this one, something like the biggest we could get to is, may all beings find peace. May all beings be happy.
Yeah, generalizing. Bigger than the particulars.
Yeah, because with any time we get into particulars, we slide into content and out of process. We can find that it can go on forever. As you say, there's Parkinson's, and then there's Alzheimer's, and then there's all different kinds of cancers, and then there's all these things, and then there's that so many people in the world aren't eating, and that we're running out of clean water, and the air is terrible, and it just goes on and on and on and on in the particulars. In the content, with always something that is a problem that needs to be solved, needs to be fixed. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of content that you might focus on as,
Yeah, and the possibility that maybe our highest possibility is not in resolving content, but in realizing a process.
Yes, I think that's that's why I got to that if I could have this thing, it would be a process. And I also had this thought that sprouted up around this what if I could like wave a magic wand and clean up the pollution that humans have caused, and the notion came to me that it would just all start over again without a process. Right? If we had a pristine planet, what do you think would happen?
Yeah, and it would take us right back, doesn't it? So if we had a wish, it's may all beings find compassion, right? May all beings know compassion, something along those lines, because very possibly from a place of compassion, we would make different choices. And the speculation there is fairly sound, I think, since from compassion we do make different choices.
Oh, yes, definitely.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. For
thank
those
you.
Great wishes. All right.
Okay.
Take care, Jodine.
You too.
Thanks, Jodine.
All right.
Inertia, when Jodine articulated what it is that she did choose, the first thing that dropped in was, wow, she's choosing for everyone to be doing an awareness practice.
Right.
Because it is that, right? That it's interesting to me that it dropped in, that is what life is about, or seems to be on this plane of existence, which is we're all moving to that place where we can experience ourselves as not separate from each other, and therefore from a place of compassion and love, have a different life experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's sustainable, that's caring, that takes care of mm-hmm. things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just fun to experience the possibility that that's what we're doing here.
Yes. Yeah, we don't know, but it certainly fits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if
mm-hmm.
this is a plane of existence in which people have the possibility of moving from ignorance and delusion to awareness, conscious awareness and compassion, well,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Jen in Pennsylvania. I'm happy to be here.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, Jen. What are you seeing?
Hey, well, it's really true that I'm really happy to be here. I was looking at not wanting to rehearse, and then, of course, like seeing how the voices, you know, then we're like just so unrelenting about like, well, but maybe you better talk about this and that, like this, all the stuff that wants to try to be inserted, you know, all the time. So I was just kind of watching mm-hmm. that as I was getting on the call, and yeah,
putting yourself in the queue, and mm-hmm.
yes,
and they're getting
yes.
more and more agitated.
Exactly, exactly. But you mm-hmm. have to, you know, have a plan and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah, and definitely the happy to be here place feels just super super true. We're in this process of selling our house and moving, and so I haven't been able to be here a couple of times with just, you know, signing paperwork and taking care of different things. And then I noticed that I just got talked out of being here. You know, like it was starting to fall away, like the whole year long mm-hmm. retreat. And I'm so grateful that it's we get the daily email. There are the reminders. It was so helpful that just keeps being in front of me. So, you know, today actually it was like, okay, nope, I'm getting back into it. And I put some time on the schedule to get back with the workbook, and that felt wonderful, and be like, okay, I'm getting in the queue, and, you know, just because I know it's so important. And I'm just so grateful for that, because I see that, especially, you know, with, I mean, probably always there's some reason that conditioning is angling for, right? But it feels like when there's, you know, whatever bigger content or something like this going on, there's this thing that it feels like, well, yeah, it's a really busy time. I mean, it's understandable that, you know, you're not going to be able to do these things. And it's like, no, this is, you know, if anything, even more of a time that I want to make sure that I prioritize practice. So I'm just really grateful for all the reminders and, yeah, and to be here.
Yeah. Because what you just described is such a big way, such a big bamboozle. So there, you have a really good reason not to participate now. And then not participating just slides into a habit. Well, you haven't been, and so, and you can do it. You'll get back to it later sometime. And then, you know, if people talked about 3 months goes by, and then suddenly it's like, wait a minute, where have I been?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I'm seeing it with lots of different, you know, practice commitments and everything else. And then the trick is to see it, you know, not let that turn into a whole self-hate and feeling bad, just to look at like, oh, right. Oops. Okay. Yeah. Let me,
yeah,
you
here
know,
I am.
Let me change things up. Yep. And just, you know,
and with the workbook,
with the
workbook, at least we can go back and do the exercises we missed, and we can listen to the recorded conversations, right? So we don't ever have to actually miss out on anything. It's always now, and we're here. That's plenty.
Exactly. Yeah. And just lastly, with that, I've been watching that too, because what's happening so far is that I'm kind of like allowed, you know, by the voices to have these like catch-up sessions where I'll like work on the workbook, you know, and catch up on some assignments. And of course, it's fun and inspiring and insights come in and it's so helpful. And I was just, again, without the self-hate, but just looking at like, okay, so that would be a really lovely process to be able to do every day. You know, I can see how I'm not being allowed to have that.
I can only
have it a little bit and then I kind of go away. So, you know, I'm just seeing like, right, I want to be engaged in that process every day. Yeah.
Yes. And that's the argument for no feeling bad, because without going through that process, you wouldn't have seen that. You wouldn't have been aware that that was going on. And so you went through that process, you saw the process, and now you are more committed to making a different choice. That's how awareness practice works, huh? Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Take care. Go happy.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. All right. What occurred to me, Sherry, is that Jen was describing exactly the process of the questions we're talking about. Like, what do we choose? If there's anything we want in the world, what would that be? And then how do we get talked out of not selecting it? And then how do we decide that's what we want? Yes.
Yeah. And what did we choose instead? And then realize that's not it.
That's not it. Yes. And so long as I don't feel bad and I don't buy into it, it just becomes an opportunity for me to select what I want.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. It's like so I'm getting ready to take a driver's test because I have to renew my driver's license. And so in California, you take your driver's test, and if you don't pass, then you get to study again and try again, and you get to, you know, just keep doing that. And I think, well, that's a lot like life, you know. We just get to keep doing it until we, you know, it metaphorically pass that one, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, got that. And then and then here you are in the next, you know, the next one. We take that one until we see everything there is to see about it and get clear, get 100%, and we're ready to move on.
And I love that metaphor, right, Sherry, because it doesn't say anything about you or your ability to drive. It's just taking the test, right? The process is taking the test. It doesn't say anything about me or anything about my driving.
Right, yeah. And we just keep practicing.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Nancy.
Hey, Nancy.
Hey, Nancy. I'm happy to be here.
Good, good.
Yes.
Happy to have you.
Thank you. Well, this question comes up, you know, periodically, and the process around it is usually always the same, and it's that my mind goes blank. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what would a gift be if I could have anything in the world? What would I choose? And I could never, even when I was young, I could never, you know, if somebody asked me what I want for my birthday or what I want for Christmas, I could never come up with anything, and I still can't. And So the process for me was difficult in that, you know, I was thinking, well, okay, how would I do this correctly? That's the condition. I mean, because, well, what is it? Well, I'd love for all my dreams to come true. I would love world peace, you know. And I thought, but no, that's good. But what gift would I really want? And it just occurred to me, you know, as I was doing this process, that no matter what I get, conditioning is going to come up and say, you know, that's not quite what you wanted. You know, maybe something else, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then it occurred to me, oh, my gosh, you know, what I really would want would be peace and joy with whatever I have, wherever I am, and whatever is going on. You know, basically, that's what I would want. And that's what I have when I'm in the present moment.
Which is great. Right. Yeah. So what do I want? Well, I want what is. I want to be here for it, and I want to enjoy it. I don't need anything to be different. I just want to be here for what is and to enjoy it. To enjoy not the what is, that's not a requirement, to enjoy being here and being present.
Right. And there's such a difference when I move away from that and, you know, just walking down the street, you know, and feeling, oh, that's too hot or it's too humid or it's, and then moving into that place of, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm here, I'm happy, I love the trees, I love the, you know, the feeling of the sun on my skin, and just, it's just such a gift to be in that place.
Yes, and the gift that you're pointing out is the gift of awareness.
Yes.
Right? So you're aware that with ego, all roads lead to dissatisfaction. that's where we're always going to be steered. And to be aware enough to realize that and catch it and go, no, that's ego's experience. That's not my experience.
Right.
My experience is I love being here. And let's talk about all the great things that are happening here, the sun and the...
Yeah, and what I've really noticed is that it's a gift that keeps on giving, because when I'm in the presence of others, what a difference, what a gift I am to that person or those people when I'm in that place rather than outside of that. Yeah.
Yes, and what a gift they are to you, right? Because they get folded right into that, this is what's here for me to be present to and enjoy.
Absolutely.
And without, without the negativity.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was a great exercise for me to get to that point.
Oh, good.
It's really important to see that idea. Yeah.
And to keep coming back to it, right? I mean, this is a lifelong question right? And then to be in a place in your life where you can look at it and you know how to look at it and how to be with it, how to be open and present and let the clarity come to you. And,
it's definitely
beautiful thing.
A hit in one of my recordings, so yeah.
Greatest hits. All right. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you. Bye. Go happy.
Bye. Go happy.
Thank you, Nancy. It truly is the best gift, the ability to just be present for what is, to be able to receive it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to steal that one.
Yeah. Put it on your greatest hits list, huh?
It just fundamentally comes down to that. That's really it. You know, not wanting it to be different than it is would remove all the suffering in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And as we were talking about in group at the retreat this morning, I think it was this morning or last night or sometime, that in that way we are positioned for life to be able to use us in the way that we can be most helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we're no longer focused on, I don't want that. I don't like that. I need it to be this way. I need something different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from San Carlos.
Hello, hi, Anna.
Hi. Wow, I'm really happy to be here.
It sounds like you're on the move.
I am on the move. I am on the move. Is it too loud?
No. You just sound kind of far away and in the car.
Oh, okay. I am in the car. If it's too loud, then I can call back tomorrow. Is it okay?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's good.
Okay. So I guess it's interesting because I think the gift that I chose is very similar to what we were just talking about, but the words that came up were different. And so one of the karmic things for me is safety. And a feeling of like wanting to be safe, right? And what I've looked at with that is that really the only way to be safe is to like fully trust life, right? To like rest hands and just like let go.
Yes. Yes.
And so it's interesting because that was the language that came up because that's the gift that I would like to give for myself, you know, and for the world would be to be able to live from that place. From that place of just, you know, appreciating the gift that life is and allowing life to move through me, which feels like actually what safety, what that whole urge for safety is about, even though, like, you know, would, like, frame it certainly differently.
Yes. So what you're saying, what you're realizing is that attempting to feel safe is what makes us feel unsafe.
Yeah.
That without without that, there's something to fear. I'm unsafe. That I need to be worried and nervous and anxious. Without that conversation, you do feel safe.
Yeah. I think that's right, because it feels like all the scampering around for safety in the ego sense is the, like, indulging the conversation about the way things should be and how things should be going and what needs to happen for me to whatever. And that whole conversation is the thing that, like, whips me up into, like, a frenzy and keeps me from actually relaxing. Into the way things are.
Yeah, makes you feel unsafe. So it's as if you it would be very hard to enjoy life if you lived in a conversation of, well, you could die in a car accident. You could die in a plane crash. You could drown in the bathtub. You could, you know, if that was all you heard all day long, feeling relaxed and comfortable and alive and safe would be very challenging. Impossible.
That is in some way what I am today. I mean, that is like the bamboozle that ego tries to give me. And not necessarily like I'm going to drown in a bathtub, but similar, you know, something bad's going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
And so I need to like tense up and protect myself from it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's funny. What we're really doing is tensing up and attempting to protect ourselves from a conversation inside our head, which is really challenging.
And also, it's like, something I've also noticed about it is, like, the interpretation of what it is that's going on. You know, it's like living from that place of, like, maybe yes, maybe no. It's like that feels like safety, because it's actually, like, trusting life and, you know, looking for the observation of the beauty as it's unfolding. Whereas, like, it feels like ego is, like, things should not be going this way. Oh, my gosh, what does this mean? Like, you know, what's going to happen next? And it's like, it just is a total distraction from, because I, you know, the underlying belief is, like, you know, life is inherently hostile. And so, that's kind of what I would choose as the gift is, and it's funny that it chose the word safety, because it's like that has been the, like, karmic word. And so it was funny when it came out, because I knew what it meant when I wrote it down. It wasn't like I want, like, a bunker and, like, a ton of money and, like, you know, it wasn't like that's what it meant. It was sort of felt like a reclamation of that word of, like, yeah, like, true safety is in, like, safety from the voices in a way, but not even that, but just in a, like, acceptance of what's going on, you know?
Yes.
Like a relaxation into...
relaxing into here.
Yeah. And like a maybe yes, maybe no, kind of. I don't know.
The funny thing that I saw when you said that, Anna, is so the belief, that ego belief of that life is inherently hostile, and the absurdity of I'm going to go up against it. So life...
Yeah.
Is hostile, and I, little ego, am going to take it on, and so that I make sure that I'm okay. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's happening inside our head, it kind of we fall for it. Yeah.
That's
all right. Well, you drive safely.
Yeah. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Bye. Oh, I was just going to say, it's interesting that you say it, because that's probably why there's that feeling of inadequacy, because, like, of course I can't, you know, like, you know?
Of course I can't. Yes.
Yeah.
Which then perpetuates the fear, right? Because I'm caught in this thing, and I know I'm completely inadequate to the task, and and so I'm anxious. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Anna.
Well, thank you. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to connect.
It's good to hear from you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anna. You know, Sherry, I wish I could squeeze in another caller, but it's 2 minutes to the hour, and I mean to the half hour or the end of the show. But that point that you were talking about is exactly what we were looking at in group recently, like just a couple of minutes ago, that ego is that separation from life. And so it is an experience of absence, not enough, deficiency, inadequacy, because it is not all that is. And when we're identified with it, we experience it. That experience of separation is an experience of deficiency and absence and inadequacy.
And that movement that we're talking about, I identify with ego, and I'm in that loss, lack, deprivation, inadequacy, fear. And then there's just that, I drop that for a second, turn my attention back to here, and all those problems just fall away. And then we can feel the conversation start up, just drag us back across that line into, back and forth we go.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other point that I think you were looking at with Anna, which is an even more astounding place, which is when we are not identified with ego and we are here, we actually can experience and have a different experience of life, which is not safe. There is no concept of safety in life, right? It's always changing. It's always unpredictable. It's always it is inherently transient. And so then to embody those experiences is what it's like to be a fully alive human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're perfectly safe in the awareness that life is life.
Right. I'm safe. You know?
for ego.
Or lack of, I mean, I think the better word that, like Dogen uses, for example, is security. There is no security. Mm-hmm. And we're completely fine that there isn't when we're not separate from and therefore don't have anything to compare to how it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big.
Big.
So,
what should we do now?
Well, our question is, how will you feel when you have it, when you have the gift?
How will you feel when you have the gift?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's a kind of a trick question, isn't it?
A very, very, very trick question.
All right.
Somebody in Zen wrote
you.
This book.
So, yeah, some of those Zen types slipping these trick questions in.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Thank you,
Sherry.
Attorney. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. Go happy.